following podcast has been brought to you by Ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, children of all ages, Rabble Mania Show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL. Joining me as always
is I, the other half, the longest reigning Rabble Mania tag team champions of the world, TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss that good old AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
This man and his hoes.
It's all about them hoes. But before we get to the Dynamite, as we always do, we got some news items to talk about. And just today alone, we got a couple of bombshells. So
it's life.
I wonder.
Will it take me under?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shit crazy out here. But let's start at the top. Let's go to earlier today where it was reported by PW Insider that Cesaro has quietly walked away from WWE. Our boy, Claudio Castagnoli, is free.
I'm gonna go and play Jim Ross's beautiful theme song. And they go a little silent.
Yeah, we need some positive vibes right now. Hey, the free the boy, man. Hey, free the boy. Love it. I love it.
Hey! That song is so celebratory. Good shit, Oklahoma.
Hell yeah. It's time to celebrate because he's free. Like, apparently. They were negotiating. WWE wanted to keep him. They offered him a contract, sent him a contract, but he said no. He declined, and his contract is now expired, and he's free to go. No 90 day, so he can wrestle for someone right now if he so chose. Like if there was a show going on right now, he could go there.
So yeah. Cesaro, I know you're probably gonna come over here or try to come over here, but before you do that, stop by Impact Wrestling and wrestle Moose, please.
Be fire.
Please. What is good with me and wanting everybody to go wrestle Moose?
Moose is great. I mean, Moose. The world is Claudio's oyster because there's many fucking guys.
Oh my
I want
God.
A G1 run.
For That's Claudio. What I was going to say. Oh my
I
God.
Want a G1 run.
Oh my God.
I want Claudio and Ishii. I want Claudio and Ospreay. I want Claudio and Shingo. I want Claudio and fucking I want it all. I want it all.
Want Claudio versus Jeff Cobb.
Claudio and Jeff Cobb would go crazy because you know he can lift him. I want it all. Fucking.
And if I say that, then I got to also say I would love Claudio Castagnoli versus Jonah Rock.
Yes. Do that. That could also happen at Impact. Mm-hmm. We need that Kings of Wrestling reunion, Chris Hero. What are you doing? Where are you at? I haven't heard much from you lately. So what's going on, Chris? What you doing?
I need a hero.
Yes. Who's your hero? Chris Hero. Can we get a Kings of Wrestling reunion? Ring of Honor about to come back. They're doing Supercard of Honor. So let me know what's going on, man. Like you said, there's certainly a possibility that, you know, this place may want him. And
yeah,
I'm sure TK may whip out the checkbook because it's like we talked about with guys like Keith Lee and Jay White. When those guys are available,
you
get
take
those
him.
Guys. They are of that caliber. Like, you don't sit on that.
That's how I feel about my boy Claudio Castagnoli.
Yes, and Claudio is one of the best in the world, and he will absolutely, whenever he chooses to get back out there and perform, he will show people in little to no time just what I say. He's one of the best in the world.
I'm going to be mad at myself if I just call him Claudio all the time and then be like, yo, but I still can't say Bryan Danielson? Like, what's wrong with me?
I'm already there, bro. Like, Cesaro, RIP to the homie Cesaro.
Claudio Castagnoli, bro.
Welcome back, Claudio.
The Kings, my man. You know what it is? He didn't do shit in WWE, so I could probably just be like, yeah, whatever the fuck like that Daniel, was, Claudio.
Danielson won world championships and shit, main event of WrestleMania.
He
had a, like, and Cesaro, he didn't have a bad WWE career.
Yeah.
He was there for about 10 plus years, I think. He won tag team championships.
He was there for like 10 years that felt like a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it felt
That's crazy.
But like he won some tag titles, had a good run with The Bar and Sheamus and Tyson Kidd and all that. Like
that's
where they sort of placed it, like around the middle toward the end. Like they just decided, well, you're a great tag wrestler. So they just had him do a bunch of cool tag shit. And you know, he won a mid-card title or two, but it, like there's worse runs to have in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like what he showed in his potential and how over he was at certain points, like the Cesaro section, for I will never forget Vince McMahon sitting across from Steve Austin and saying, I just don't know about the Cesaro guy. He just doesn't connect. Maybe it's because he's Swiss or I don't know. That
no,
during the time
you
where
don't
fucking
know what the
there
fuck
were Cesaro section signs at every show.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. What are you, what?
He's I'll not over to shit. You in your head, you idiot.
Yeah.
He's over for us. We love that motherfucker. That motherfucker, every time you put him on TV, we see him do crazy shit and we're just like, yo, that was insane. What the fuck? Where was that move?
The fucking hot tag that he did that gets posted like once a week on Twitter. Fucking him throwing Big Show out of the Battle Royal. Him uppercutting dudes into oblivion. Oh my God.
Him versus
Ray
Seth.
Phoenix.
Him versus Seth.
Him versus Seth at Mania, where he whipped out the UFO.
Yeah. Like, him versus Seth. Get out of here, bro. I remember.
they never got with it with them. I remember the closest that I ever felt like, all right, maybe we're going to do something is when, just like I said, after he threw Big Show out, won the Andre Battle Royal at WrestleMania 30, and then they gave him Paul Heyman. He turned face.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turned him heel immediately the next night. And that's when I should have realized. But I was like, they're giving him Paul Heyman. It's going to be fucking him and Brock. And it's going to be a thing. And then there was nothing. There was nothing.
And they don't like doing fun things. They don't like giving you what you want. You know, they like postponing it to the point that they forget and we forget. And then it never happens because everyone forgot.
Yep. So, you know, that's what happened. They never did anything of real true substance with the guy in that company. And now, wherever he may go, there will be a chance to rectify that and show who he is. Like I said, Cesaro versus Rey Fenix. You know he'll throw him like 50 feet in the air and then uppercut him. And Fenix will do like 25 flips on the way down. That should be crazy.
Give me Cesaro versus Keith Lee. For the TNT title. For the TNT title.
Yeah, I need all that. I need all that.
It needs to be for this. Why am I already seeing this shit? Yo, this needs to happen.
Yeah. It's
spookily, fun. Spookily on AEW, the shit that I say tends to happen. So I'm like, I'm going to just shut up.
It's because Tony Khan like giving you what you like.
That's all. I know, and it's creepy though, because it'd be shit that I don't think that even anybody else likes. Yeah. Shit that I don't think anybody else is even into. And Tony Khan must have smelled what my brain fart.
No, I like that shit too. Good shit.
That's a good brain fart. No, I like that. Where did it come from?
I'm going to do that.
Out of nowhere, I'm like, yo, what the? He did that.
Yeah. I told you, it was good.
That's crazy.
So, you know, Cesaro free. And moving on, Brian Cage. He had an option on his AEW contract. And apparently, he's been telling people that it's been picked up, according to Fightful. A lot of people thought that Cage, they were going to let him go. Because he hasn't been used on TV since, like, October, I think.
Yeah, but I think that's just, due to circumstance.
Maybe, there might be some whatever circumstances surrounding it. I mean, because he's been working indies. Like, he just did a thing with the Acclaimed on a Warriors of Wrestling show where Max Caster even had a bar about him not being on TV.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a good match. He cut a promo. He had a match with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was like, that's a guy that should be on TV every week. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe picking up that option means we're going to see a little more of Brian Cage. Like, I think what people got to realize about AEW is also because of how much talent is there and, you know, basically how much talent there is and how they book things. It's cyclical in nature. Like, sometimes they're going to have periods where guys sort of fall in and out of the spotlight as other guys rise up. Now, with Cage, obviously, it's been longer than a little while. Like I said, he hasn't been on the show since October, really. But I do think you can pop Cage back in whenever you want in a storyline. Give him something big to do, and he'll do good with it. Like, I still remember Double or Nothing last year. He had that match with Hangman, opening match on the show. Crowd was going crazy for it. It was awesome.
You know what I can see being good?
What?
They build Wardlow a bit, and then, you know, Cage, you know, does a big return or whatever, and then Wardlow's the first guy out, and him versus Wardlow would be nice.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, like you said, like Wardlow's first, like after he fucking, you know, breaks up with MJF, you could have that be like his first big thing, him and Cage. I can see that. Like, there's a lot you could do
there's
with Brian
something Cage. That today I saw, but we're going to talk about that later on when it happens. Mm-hmm. And I saw something, and I was like, I want that. I want that.
Either way, it's interesting. Like, because, you know, get paid, Brian. Get your bag. Because, I mean, like, with the AEW contracts, like we talked about, you could work indies. So, I mean, even if they're not going to use them on AEW TV, he'll get that AEW pay. And then he can go work indies and then do Twitch and whatever else he wants, which is, you know, that's the point of what being an independent contractor is supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to go and make your money on your schedule as you please. So
and he's doing that. So fuck yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, good for Cage.
Brian Cage, live your best life. And, you know, when they're going to use you here, do some amazing shit like I know you know how to do. So it's all good.
Yeah. Shout out to the machine.
That boy good. That boy good.
That boy good. And moving on, Jeff Hardy.
Dumbass.
He was at a meet and greet today. He talked to a YouTuber, Jared Myers. He did an interview on his channel. And he just straight up said, you know, talking about his future and all that post WWE. He was like, I'm going to AEW. He just straight up said it. I'm going to AEW. I'm excited. Why? A little nervous, but, you know, it's going to happen. I'm going to have fun.
But why? But why, Jeff? Why? You can't just let it, you know what I'm saying? Just hang on.
I mean, like,
just...
everybody expects it, so
We expect it, but it's nice when you see it happen finally, and you're like, yes! You know, it gives it a bit, it gives it another layer of suspense. Yo, so I'm going to work for AEW, you know what I'm saying? Damn it, motherfucker. Shut up.
Hey, man, he's excited. He's
this
excited
is why Matt was the idea guy. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Listen, man, he and also in that interview, he was talking about, you know, the whole situation with WWE and how it ended. And he was basically like, you want me to take a drug test to fucking fight for my job when I know I'm clean and you know I'm clean? Fuck you. Fuck WWE. He said that. Fuck WWE.
Yep.
But he also said, like, you know, I'd love to go back one day.
He doesn't want to completely burn the bridge. He just wanted to light a match on it.
Yeah. And I mean, even if he did burn it, they'll call him back.
Yeah.
Like,
he's Jeff fucking
it's like
Hardy.
I said last
maybe
week.
Maybe he knows. Maybe it's like what we were talking about earlier with Brock, where, like, maybe he knows, like, fuck them niggas. They need me more than I need them.
I'm Jeff fucking Hardy. They will call me as soon as they need somebody for the Hall of Fame. Man, he knows. Hey, listen, Matt has all but fucking said, you know, Jeff's coming. Like, the way Matt has acted is pretty much like, just wait till my brother get here. I swear to God, private party. So
we're going to take shots on that.
Yeah. So now, let's talk about the rating for Dynamite.
Yeah.
It's back up. A million. Cool million. and a 4-0 in the key demo. 16% from last week. Third on cable, behind College Hoops and CNN coverage of the whole Russia and Ukraine situation. Which,
what you the know, hell is going on in this world?
That's just...
What the fuck is going on?
It's
COVID
it's,
ain't even fully over. We over here having wars. Like, what the fuck is going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, like we're still in a pandemic and fucking Vladimir Putin decided to...
Let's dig a deeper hole. Let's keep digging the hole deeper. Let's fucking go. Yeah.
March Madness is coming up. So we getting them rankings set. Selection Sunday coming up soon. So, you know, this is about to get crazy. So, I mean, Dynamite back over the million mark, back in the fours in the key demo. So it's like we talked about with last week. You check with this and you know it's a data point, but you got to wait and see what happens next week so you know what to make of it. And based on what we see here, this was a million. 2 weeks ago was a million. Before that was a million. 4-0 mm-hmm. in the demo around that area. It seems like last week was the aberration. Last week was just a blip. We don't know mm-hmm. what happened there, but it seems like this is their normal area of where they live at, around a million and a 4-0 in the key demo. So good bounce back. Good numbers. You know the network is happy. You know how it is. And with that, it's time to get to the Dynamite.
You know what this means, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes.
It's time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom.
Bring the boom. Let's banter.
AEW Dynamite from Bridgeport, Connecticut. We open with one of these goddamn crazy ass.
This was insane.
Tag team battle royales.
This is insane.
But listen, man, I can't lie.
Yeah.
It's like I always say with these situations where you got a lot of AEW tag teams in there all at once, you really get to see it on full display. This is one of the most stacked tag team divisions ever.
Oh,
like, it's crazy how much talent there is in this tag division. It's ridiculously deep. Like, it's so deep that there's like five different storylines that get progressed or furthered or whatever within this match alone.
Wow.
Between different tag teams, like little angles or, you know, alliances or beefs or just there's so much little interconnectivity between all these tag teams. And like, it's crazy. There were two stare downs that got big pops off passion.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was a fun battle royal.
Yep. I like that everybody was having a good time is my thing.
Yeah.
This motherfucker gave me the wrong episode, but I...
Oh, some bitch.
Go ahead.
So the shit pops off. Everybody's going in the ring. fucking the Gun Club, they get elimination quick. And then Austin gets thrown out. Colton is standing over the ropes like, hey, what the hell happened? And he's yelling and he's talking shit. Santana must have seen Nyla Rose's tweet about him being Jim from The Office. But he's behind Colts and Gunn. He's like, hey, yo, y'all see me? I'm about to throw this dude out. Mm-hmm. And then he throws him out. And, you know, big elimination. Best friends cut him off, get the elimination on him. And then that leaves us with Chuck Taylor, Kyle O'Reilly. They're fighting over to the apron. Then Bobby Fish mm-hmm. comes over. They knock Chuck Taylor out. He's eliminated. And then John Silver throws out Mark Quinn. John Silver was going crazy in this, too. He throws out Mark Quinn, almost throws out Isaiah Cassidy, but Matt catches him. And he's like, all right, you're good. Get up there. Do it. But then...
You know what hurts, Evan?
What?
You don't chuck Chuck Taylor out of the ring.
Yeah.
You don't... Well, you never throw him out. What you do is you tie him up, the laces, and you throw it on the lamppost.
Yeah. He'd have won the match, though.
That's what you're supposed to do with Chuck Taylor.
Yeah. He'd have won the match that way. Should have thought of that.
I'm just talking hood shit. Yeah. Not even.
So.
Snoop would have been offended.
Yeah.
It's not what you do with Chuck Taylor, cuz.
Yeah, that's the wrong way. But, you know, Matt catches Isaiah Cassidy, puts him back on the apron, but then Johnny super kicks him right off the apron. He falls to the floor. Private Party is gone. And once again, Matt Hardy displaying that erratic behavior, and he just walks out on his boys. He goes to the back.
Yeah.
And the Bucks, once again, I feel like this is now a yearly tradition in these tag team battle royals. The fucking Young Bucks eliminate Santana and Ortiz, at least one of them.
Assholes.
So they eliminate Ortiz, and they drop Santana with the double super kick. He's out. No, he's not out yet. He falls.
Well, isn't he out because Ortiz is out? How the fuck?
No, because it's only one, like, you can be singles in there and win it for your team. It's, you know,
this is a mess.
Yeah, single elimination, not double elimination. But, yeah, they drop Santana with the double super kick. He goes in the corner. I thought they eliminated him, but no, he just went in the corner. And then we see the Young Bucks on one side. We see FTR on the other side. And the crowd is like, oh, wait a minute. This is the match. And they start applauding. And they go crazy. And it's a big stare down. And they start fighting. But then fucking Redragon immediately breaks it up. Like, ah, fuck that shit. And then FTR throws out Nick Jackson. You,
sorry. Yep.
I'll give you a reason. It's reason. And now Matt's pissed off. But Santana takes him out. Like, fuck yes. I'm sick of the Young Bucks always fucking taking us out of these battle royals.
See, I was confused. I was like, can he do that though?
yeah, he can do it.
Because I was confused as to the whole elimination. Y'all a hot mess with these tag team elimination situations.
Yeah.
I guess because I'm so used to like WWE's way of doing it, where it's like, if one guy's out, they're both out.
Yeah.
I was wondering why the fuck this kept happening. I'm like, is this?
Yeah, is this legal?
What the fuck is going
on? It's legal.
It's not even legal. Yeah, it's but legal. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Trent gets makes dumped more sense out. Now. Yeah. Trent gets dumped to the outside, but Orange saves him. He lands on his shoulders. Orange gets him. He's holding him up. He puts his shades on, and then he sends Trent back inside. Then Trent, he runs in, eliminates Bobby Fish via drop kick. We go to commercial. We come back from break. Johnny Hungy's going crazy. He eliminates Cash Wheeler. Sir. And now there are no complete teams remaining. Every team left has only one guy left in the ring. So the ring clears out. And we got another stare down. This time, it's Santana and Trent. And the crowd pops again.
This was
like,
great.
Oh, I remember this match too. Oh.
The what do you call it? The parking lot. The
legendary parking lot brawl.
Yeah. That shit was fun.
Yeah. It goes to show like just how many classic tag moments they've already had when you get two callbacks to past tag matches and both get big reactions.
Yeah. They got to bring fun shit like that back, though. They haven't done fun shit like that. I guess because it was like the pandemic era.
Yeah, they had to utilize Daly's Place and all that. So.
Yeah. But like, y'all can still do fun shit like this. Come on.
Yeah, I definitely would love another parking lot, bro. That shit was great.
Yeah.
So
it just reminds me of when Cena and Guerrero did it.
Yeah, that I had so much fun. Yeah. Fucking just great match. Great, great match.
Mm-hmm.
So they start fighting, and fucking crazily enough, the crowd picks Santana. In the Bouye spot, they cheer for Santana.
Well, Trent's been a dick for like since he came back.
Yeah, he's been disrespecting my guy, Yuta. So, you know, we're not having that. You can't disrespect Yuta. And he doesn't want to let Danhausen in the best friends. So, yeah.
He's definitely the heel of the squad right now.
Yeah, Trent being a heel.
He's a heel in a babyface group. So, he's starting to look funny.
So they fight to the apron. They're trying to chop each other off, kick each other off, suplex each other off. But then it's Matt Jackson and Kyle O'Reilly that run over and take them both out, which leaves Kyle O'Reilly, Matt Jackson, and the Bald Boys, Johnny Hungy and Dax Harwood.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I love how this breaks down into a tag team match of guys with hair versus guys with no hair.
Guys with no hair. Guys with hair over here.
Yeah, guys with no hair over here. Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
So Kyle and Dax, they fight over to the apron, and yo, they started throwing bombs at each other. I was like, oh, chill, it's just a battle royal, bro. Dax throwing. Was laying it in, and so was Kyle, because Kyle always lays it in. So I guess Dax was like, I'm gonna lay it right in with you, son.
So, here's some reasons.
Yeah, here's a reason. So, but then Bobby Fish, he creeps over. He was hanging around under the ring. He comes out. He comes over, knocks Dax off the apron. FTR is eliminated. They're out.
Kyle, if you're listening to me, when you punch people, you should call them Fist of Reason.
He's giving you a reason each and every time.
Yeah, you want to do reason.
Yes.
They're giving you some reason.
So, Matt and Kyle, now they go to double team Johnny. They're going to throw him out, but he double suplexes them and takes them out. So, Kyle and Matt, they team up. They hit Chasing the Dragon on this man.
Yes.
And then they go to toss Fire him shit. Out. But then, like, it happens so fast. Like, they go toss Johnny out. Kyle mm-hmm. falls back, like, all right, you got it. And then Matt throws out Silver. And then Kyle immediately just goes and throws Matt out. And the winners of this battle royal is Red Dragon.
I'll give you a reason. I'll give you a reason. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something right quick. So, the guys were here one.
Yes, guys with hair won.
They won that encounter. Let's just talk about the match before we go to the post-match. This match was fucking insane.
Yeah.
There was so much story in here, too. The fact that Matt was looking at fucking Private Party like, y'all motherfuckers is useless. Yeah.
Sick of shit.
He's getting so fed up with it that it's so funny. He's just like, fucking useless.
I swear to God, fucking, when Jeff comes, it's over for you guys.
He's going to tell him straight up, fucking useless. I like that. That's like the story that they're building. So then when Jeff does come, now they have a reason.
Yes, they do.
So you feel me? It's like Matt Hardy's like scorned because, you know, they fucking did horrible under him, but they're like, we did a horrible under you because of you, not because of us. Your tutelage just fucked us up. And then they have a great match, and then eventually you put the kids over, and then, you know, eventually y'all have a rematch, and the baby faces go over, and then you know how that goes.
Yeah, because this,
or if not, you can do it the other way around where they win the first time, and then the second one the kids win, and then you put them over.
Yeah,
and then you can do it either way.
Yeah, because I think no matter what, it's got to end with Private Party beating the Hardys. But,
yeah,
you know, however way you want to get to that, you can take whatever path.
I would do Private Party taking the dub the first time.
Yeah.
Hardys taking the dub the second time. Private Party taking the final dub and then leaving it at that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, great match. Like we talked about, all these stories progressed, all this talent on display. Gotta Trent love Beretta. That AEW tag team wrestler.
Trent Beretta was low-key kind of heelish during this, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why when I saw him with Santana, I was like, you reversed the roles a little bit right here. It gave me a little bit of Austin Brett vibes. So I was like, I see you. I see what you did there. I like this.
Yeah, digging it. Where the Young Bucks and Red Dragon are arguing, like, immediately. Like, the Bucks are like, hey, what the hell, man? You just fucked us over. And then Red Dragon's like, nah, man, come on. And then Hangman just comes out.
Well, to be honest, Bobby Fish was the kind of trying to keep the peace here.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly was just like, fuck you guys. We fucking won. I just won this. I busted my ass. Fuck all of y'all. And Bobby was like, hey, wait, no, it's fine. No, look, we cool, we boys, we boys. It should be cool because we boys.
Yeah.
And Colorado's like, nah, fuck him. It was me against the world and I had to win. Fuck that.
I did what I had to do. Fuck that shit.
But then,
the cowboy comes out, the champ.
You know, I'm not going to sing the whole song. My throat hurt now.
Hangman comes out, whoops her dragon's ass while the Bucks are like, this ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm going to back up over here. And eventually he turns around. He looks at the Bucks. And there's like this little look of, I'm going to let y'all go. And then, you know, and the Bucks, they step off. But then Adam Cole runs down.
It's like, you idiots, what are you guys? I'm going to go save my friends.
Yeah. Cole runs down. He goes for a super kick. Hangman, he was on it. Mm-hmm. Stopped him. Whoops his ass. For Dragon pulls him away. He was going to hit him with the buckshot lariat. And then he grabs a chair, puts it in the ring, and says, who's ready for story time with Adam Page, baby?
Ooh.
Bobby is on the ramp like, that's copyright infringement. That's not your line. That's his line.
If Bobby was being me.
He's like, I want to tell you guys.
That's his gimmick. That's not you. Hey.
You can't do that.
You're the wrong Adam, B.
Yeah. But Adam says, you know, I want to talk about an arrogant prick named Adam Cole. who became world champion everywhere he went. But as he saw the world crumble around him, he went back to his friends and decided to chase the AEW championship. But that man, he walked a little too close to a 6-foot grave. And at Revolution, he's going to get put in that grave with a fully loaded buckshot. And then he goes, boom. You got a
fully loaded clip right there.
Yeah, and he drops the mic. Hangman looked like an absolute badass in this. I love this shit. Came out, whooped ass, took no prisoners.
I like how Adam Hangman Page came out here. Yes, he did look like a badass, but Adam Cole is such a great seller in this whole situation. He's so upset.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't do anything, which is why I'm like, man, they got to start making these guys do shit sometimes. When somebody's talking shit, you get in there and stop talking shit. You came from NXT. You should know this. You can't be talking shit.
Should have been talking shit.
Come on, man. You going to let him talk shit like that?
You know the rules, Adam. You forgot? You must have forgot.
You been out of NXT that long, cut?
He forgot, and then he tuned in 1 week and saw it was 2.0 and that you can talk shit there now. That's all they do, in fact. Yeah. And he thought shit changed up. He didn't realize.
Yeah.
Out here, it's still the streets.
Yep, it's still the streets out here in AEW. You gotta throw hands if you want to throw hands.
And it's worse in AEW because everybody got a gang.
Yep, yep.
So.
And your gang ain't in check. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some people are saying that this is hinting at maybe a nice split down the middle, and the Young Bucks might grab into Adam Page. And if shit goes a little left, they might be with him on the other side. We might get a little Elite reunion of sorts. And then when Kenny comes back, they can do the big split again. But
I've been thinking about this thing long term, man. With Jay White running around trying to get Bullet Club popping off in all these promotions.
Yep.
I can easily see the boys getting back together to defeat a greater enemy, so to speak. I can see it happening. Tony's with Bryan Danielson. Facing Daniel Garcia tonight.
I got to stop fantasy booking, man. I got to.
Yeah. Bryan says, you know, I think Daniel Garcia is great. Great young athlete. In fact, he reminds me a lot of a younger version of myself. But see, the difference between us is I was mentored by William Regal, while Daniel Garcia has been hanging out with 2.0.
Ooh.
This is why I've been talking about. This is why he should be with me. And speaking of John Moxley, you know, I heard what he said to me last week, and you know what? After tonight's match, I'll give you your answer. And he walks off.
But Brian, why are you so mad?
He wants Mox to fucking join him and train these kids. He's trying to reach these kids. And
how can I reach these kids?
Yeah, how can I reach these kids? And he wants Mox to help him. But Mox is like, we got to bleed first.
We got to fight first, man.
You got to fight first before you reach these kids. Before I help you reach these kids.
You want me to help you reach these kids? You're going to have to reach me first. Let's do this.
We got to throw hands. And now, oh my God, we got MJF.
You know some people on the internet is legit talking shit about this?
Like what?
Oh, he's such a great actor, bro.
See, honestly, it's a melding of the two. Like, I was like, all right. At first, I was like, yeah, this is a great little situation. But then you eventually figure out, oh, no, that was real. That was his real. I mean, maybe he embellished parts of it to fit the angle. But the story itself, that especially toward the end that he talks about with the Instagram stuff, is 100% real.
Here's what pissed me off about the people online, right? It was people of our ilk, of our culture, who were like, so what? Nigga, you know how much shit we go through? I'm like, bro, that doesn't...
That's why I don't
That doesn't this. Fucking help, bro.
Yeah, like...
what are you doing?
You know what we've always said, like, one struggle does not invalidate another struggle. Everybody's struggle is different, and everybody's struggle is valid in its own way. we are not playing oppression Olympics out here. Like,
yep.
What I always we go say through at the as end a of people the day, is different from what, and in a lot of ways it's not. In a lot of ways it's not different. Yeah. But in many ways it is. But in general, just because it may be different, it doesn't make it any less, you know, damaging or, you know, whatever to those people. Like, they go through it and it must be respected. Just like our struggles must be respected. Just like the next person's struggles must be respected.
What I always say is, what you eat don't make me shit.
Yeah.
You feel me? And what I eat don't make you shit.
Yeah.
You know? Step, you know, you could step, if you could walk in my shoes kind of situation. But at the same time, it's like, even if you walked in my shoes, you still wouldn't understand because you don't have my mind.
Yeah.
You know, your brain doesn't function the same way mine does. We wouldn't react the same to certain things. If it, you know, there's no such thing as comparative suffering. If I'm suffering, I'm suffering. Can't compare. You know what I'm saying? If you're suffering, you're suffering, you know, and that sucks. But again, you know what I'm saying? If I'm suffering, it doesn't make me any less hungry.
Yeah.
That you ate. I'm still hungry. I haven't eaten. Yeah. You feel me? So it is what it is.
Man. We don't talk about this. MJF. He comes out looking clearly shook still from the announcement last week. And the crowd is immediately chanting for CM Punk and everything. But MJF is like, well, let me just talk to you guys for a second. Let me level with you. Says, I know you're chanting for CM Punk. I know you love CM Punk. And I used to love CM Punk too. You know, and I know I'm not the easiest guy to cheer, but I just want an opportunity to speak and tell my story. Says, you know, CM Punk showed that picture last week of us at a meet and greet and said that that day was just a Friday for him. But for me, it wasn't. It really was the best day of my life because at that point in my life, pro wrestling was the only thing getting me out of bed in the morning. I was a you know, scrawny Jewish kid with a bunch of learning disabilities. And the only thing I happened to be good at was football. Talks about, you know, eventually working and getting onto the football team. And eventually he met up with his teammates one day and he thought, you know, he was happy because he thought, you know, I finally got friends, finally got, you know, people that I have things in common with. It's going to be okay. But those teammates, they approached him with rolled up socks with quarters in them. And they threw the quarters at him and they told him, pick it up, Jew boy. And it's at that point where he said, like, because the crowd's booing him to this point. Because, you know, typical MJF, fuck you, blah, 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 fuck you, MJF. But then when he starts
in
talking
their head,
about.
They were like, oh, he's throwing a pity party. Here he goes.
Yeah, he's doing MJF bullshit. But when he tells that story about the football teammates, the Jew, pick it up, Jew boy, you can feel the energy like, oh, no, wait, that's
dark.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. And then it was at this point where, like, you could see it in his eyes. Whether he starts welling up a bit.
Yeah.
And it starts becoming difficult for him to talk.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, he's not joking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, you know, oh, you know, give him an Oscar.
Yeah.
But I'm over here more like, in certain ways, you know, wrestling is wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, it is some sort of an act. You're trying to portray something. You're trying to make people feel a certain way. And everybody bought hook, line, and sinker. But at the same time, if it comes from reality, you don't really say shit like that. Because then at that point, you know, it wasn't really an act. They were kind of giving you a little bit of insight and letting you in a little bit. Because, you know, it does help the narrative. But it does give you an insight as to who they are and why they kind of think the way they are.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes when wrestlers do shit like that, you kind of just have to, like, listen, understand, and kind of, like, empathize with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they are showing a real part of them.
Yeah, this is you know, a little bit behind the curtain, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, MJF, he says, you know, going through that day, I still sucked it up because I knew that was the day I was going to meet CM Punk. The best in the world. And he said he met him and that inspired him to himself. work, train, and become a pro wrestler to where he would one day become the best in the world. Then he moves forward to January 2014, where CM Punk left. And that was the day he also quit on his dream of pro wrestling. And he decided, all right, I'll go to college. I'll play football. And then fast forward 2015, he goes on Instagram to a page called The Wrestling Classic, sees a picture of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson shaking hands. And it was at that moment where he realized that this was his dream. He still loved it. And it inspired him to quit college, go get his dream back in spite of CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Says at Revolution, in this dog collar match, Punk, you can do whatever to me. You can choke me with the chain. You can make me bleed with the chain. But whatever happens, I will not quit. Because if I did quit, that would make me no better than you. But you know who I am. I'm Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you. And you know it. And the crowd like applauds, and it's a genuine.
Some of the crowd applause. Yeah. Some of them are still like genuinely shocked.
Yeah.
So it's like a bit quiet and it's like golf claps.
Yeah. Like people are genuinely like shook by this promo. And then CM Punk walks out, no music, yeah. No nothing. He just walks down to the ring. He's looking at Max like, Matt, is that true? Like, is that
best
story
baby
true?
Face of all time.
Yeah.
Genius.
And then Max is like, it's true. And there's a tear running down his face. And he just turns away from Punk, walks out of the ring, walks up the ramp.
Doesn't say a damn thing after that and just walks off.
Yeah, and Punk is in the ring, like, completely shook to his core. And that's it. Like, even Tony, who was, like, number one, fuck MJF every week. I hope this guy gets thrown off a building through 25 tables and all that.
All of them are like that. All of them.
Yeah, they're all like that. But even they're, like, I actually feel for MJF. Like, that's difficult, you know?
Yeah.
So, this was one of the most enthralling segments I've seen in pro wrestling in quite some time. Like, emotionally gripping, just the way MJF, like, laid out the story. And like I said, like, after he told that story about the football team and how he, like, it completely changed the crowd. Like, it's a dangerous game to play because, like, you could turn a motherfucker babyface with this.
Yep.
Like, complete babyface. Like, by the end of this, when he said, I'm better than you and you know it, I was 100% with him, like, saying the catchphrase with him and shit. Like, I want this dude to win now. What the hell?
I'm going to tell you where it fucked me up. I was one of those kids, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm an Afro-Latino kid. And to some kids, that means you're too black to be Spanish and you're too Spanish to be black. And then on top of that, I was always a big kid. So it's like everything about me, I wasn't the richest. I didn't have all the money. I was, you know, I fucking double minority, overweight, not well-off kid. You feel me? So it's like being that kid, I did go through some ridicule and some bullshit. And, you know, I grew up and then I went ape shit. You feel me? So, God, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, when we look back at shit like this and we look at, you know what I'm saying? Like, we look at what he just said. How do you not feel for this guy, you know? Especially if you've been there before. You've been the kid who's been, you know, picked on for being different or just even somebody saying something to you that, you know, threw you off your game one day and then all of a sudden you're uncomfortable about it. Now you start thinking about yourself some type of way. All of that. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who's ever been through anything where you've been made to feel less than because of your differences that you can't change at the moment. If you didn't feel for this, you got problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like this really, is really, this really this was real. Like I'm gonna talk mm-hmm. about like I'm gonna talk about again a little later on the show, like wrestling promos versus real life talking to people. And I felt like what Max did here was he had a real life talk to the people in the ring, and like he didn't just cut a wrestling promo trying to hype up this match. Like obviously it does add way more intrigue to the match, because now what happens is Punk, you know, what does Punk do now? Like how does Punk respond to this? What happens next in the story? So it obviously adds a bunch of intrigue to the story, but just as MJF, as just Max, just, you know, I saw a lot of people saying online, this is his origin story. Like he basically laid out his story.
This is his villain origin story.
Yeah. And it really is. It really is.
And you know
what
that brings me back? That brings me back to me kind of saying that Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk was kind of like Joker Batman.
Yeah.
But compared to this, it's become kind of like Two-Face Batman.
Yeah.
But this right here cuts deeper.
Yeah.
Because the reason why the Joker exists is because of Batman. Batman exists kind of vicariously because of Joker. So in this situation, it's the same thing, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is more closer. Well, more closer. This is a lot closer to that story than I even thought of. And with that in my head now, I'm like, there's a lot of intrigue here. And I can see this. I wouldn't go too far with CM Punk. I wouldn't have him do too much now. Now you just kind of got to let MJF kind of flourish here. And now that he has these layers on him, he can come out and maybe cut one more promo or whatever. But I would have CM Punk just stay quiet for a little bit. And then just have the match go off. And then from there, we can more or less pick and choose where we go from there.
Yeah.
You know, because now you've created depth to the story. So now CM Punk doesn't really have to say anything. I wouldn't have him do anything too much. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because then what do you really have him do there?
Yeah, there's not a lot you can really have him do. Like, because after this, can't have him really go out there next week and be like, ah, you're fucking bullshitting, Max, or something like that. Or just, I'm going to beat you up still, Max. Like, like you said, they've added a level of depth to the story. So
now what you can do is, right, with MJF, you see how you said it's very easy now because it's dangerous territory, because now you can make him straight up babyface.
Yeah.
Bro, you can just as easily turn him heel now, like deeper heel.
Yeah.
Darker. Absolutely. You want to know how you do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You have him go through the sob story, do all this bullshit, just for him to do all the fuck shit that MJF knows how to do. And then in the end, find his way around CM Punk again. And then you fucking let him. You let him have the crowd after that. You let him eat.
And after I do that, think he's that set. Is the ultimate end game. I do think this is a ploy. Like, the story is real. Story is 100% real. But I do feel like this is Max leveraging that to you know, guilt trip Punk, or, you know, trick people and, you know, get the advantage in his favor. Yeah. Because that's what Max does. That's what Max has always tried to do. And I could see that being the ultimate end game of this. But just in the moment now of what we saw last night on Dynamite, this was incredible. Genuinely, genuinely incredible stuff. And just beyond the wrestling character stuff, like, shout out to Max for doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He fought through all that bullshit that he went through as a kid and became one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world. He is in there with his idol, CM Punk. Fucking having what is turning into one of AEW's best feuds. So shout out to Max. He absolutely 100% did that shit.
Yep.
So, you know, it shows, like we talked about, like you talked about with, you know, the people that can relate to that. It shows all those people, you can come out on the other side better. You can achieve your dreams in spite of whatever shortcomings you may have, whatever people may say you may have, you can still do it. So, I mean, great, great shit all around. Great shit all around. We got the Kings of the Black Throne.
It's time for the shit to get hella dark.
That's right. This shit, man.
This shit was all evil.
100% everyone was evil. Fucking Kings of the Black Throne come out. They're evil. Pat comes out. He's a bastard.
They fixed the lower third finally.
Yeah, they did.
It doesn't say the Knights of the
Black Throne. Kings of the Black Throne, goddamn it.
There you go.
You got it.
I ain't nothing fucking up.
You got it. So they come out. They're evil. Pat comes out. He's a bastard, of course.
So he's evil.
And then.
Yes.
We now have Penta Oscuro.
Ooh.
With evil Alex Abrahenses.
With ghoulish Alex Abrahenses.
Non-problematic vampiro over here. I love that shit.
Non-problematic vampiro.
This man
came out here looking like the Lord of the Sith, like this.
Yes, like Palpatine talking about some cero miedo. I'm like, oh, let's go. This is crazy.
Oh God, what the fuck awesome. Was this, bro? What is
this shit was awesome. I love this shit.
Oh my God, you know who he remind me of?
Ooh.
He remind me of Death and Bill and Ted. Oh God, am I wrong though?
You were right.
Take a picture of Death from Bill and Ted, and then
it's Alex Abrahenses,
Alex Danhausen over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what does Danhausen think of this? Oh, they are very evil. Extremely evil. Maybe too evil for Danhausen.
I like, too, that it gave me kind of like that priest vibe.
Yeah.
Alex Abrahenses was doing too much with his whole outfit and the whole thing, the whole gimmick.
Yo, he was into it. I loved it. Alex, he puts on. He goes for it.
This man, and then for some weird reason, he had a golden shovel.
Yeah. I guess because, you know, they used it to dig up the mask and shit.
Yep. They also used it to fucking get rid of Cody.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that later.
They buried Cody in that bitch. That's what they did. They dug up the mask and put Cody in that bitch.
Yeah. Here lies the Codyverse.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why did this have better pyro and better smoke than the fucking death match?
Everything does. You know
the
what
ring
was
all
was
cloudy
here?
And shit. Yeah.
Better explosion than the exploding barbed wire death match.
This was fucking hilarious. It's like, oh, so now you do it right.
Yeah, they learned their lesson, and now they don't pass up an opportunity to show us. We learned. We got it right. Okay? Next time we do it, it's gonna be right. All right.
This was great, though. This was great. Penta the coolest shit, too.
This was crazy. Like, so this match starts. They're fighting. Pac hits a crazy 450. It lands. We go to break. There was a break in every match on the show. Picture in picture in every match. It killed
me.
But, you know, whatever. We'll talk about that at the end.
You got to pay those gimmicks that, you know, come in the mail.
They call bills. But we're going to have a talk with Tony Khan at the end of the show. So, we come back from break. Brody King. He puts Pac on Penta's shoulders and then chops him so hard that he poisoned Rana's Penta.
Yes.
I yelled. I said, what the fuck was that? That was amazing.
This is how you sell.
I'm going to hit you so hard, you do a move to your mans. What?
Amazing selling right there.
That was incredible. Then he follows it with a tope suicida.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, this dude's going crazy. We come back. That triangle's fighting back. They eventually get him down with a middle rope German. And then Pat comes back in. Malachi goes for the mist. But Penta, he puts his hand over his mouth, covers his mouth, and stops it. So Malachi's trying to spit the mist, but and he swallows it.
Yeah. He choked on his own
choked on his own mist. And then he rolls him up.
Hey, yo.
Hey, listen. It's his mist. I don't know what time.
Yo.
But
Nah, we're I gotta do the Shane McMahon song for fucking WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah, that's what he did, man. That's what he did. Penta made him do it. Stops it, throws him up. He gets the win. So then Brody comes in post-match. He attacks them. And then he grabs the shovel.
Yeah.
But before he's able to strike and kill fucking Penta, the lights go out. And then JR's like, lights off, lights on. What the hell's going on around here?
He hates the fucking lights going on.
He hates that shit. He's tired of that shit.
Every fucking time with these lights. I don't like when the lights go out. God damn it. I'm fucking
turning off the damn lights.
My fucking heart, man.
At least give me some fucking warning when you're going to do that bullshit.
Jesus fucking Christ.
God damn it, man.
How many times this goddamn wrestling company?
So the lights come back on. And it's Buddy Matthews.
Buddy Murphy.
Yes, formerly known as Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy. Buddy Matthews.
But he's Buddy Matthews now.
Now he's a member of Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Yes.
He's member of Corey's family.
Yes.
A distant cousin or some shit.
But that's his cousin from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, he is from a different place. That's his cousin from Australia.
He approaches Malakai. Malakai's like, oh my God. He shook for a moment. But then he turns on Pac, joins with the house. They're stomping Penta out. He stomps Penta into a chair, like curb stomps him. And then they're down. And then the lights go out again. And Jared's like, what the fuck, man? I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah, he's so fed up, bro. Poor guy.
And then they come on. Everybody's gone. And then when they come on and they're gone, Penta is in the ring checking on Pac.
Yeah.
But Penta was the one that just got killed.
Hmm.
What?
Now, now here's what makes me laugh. It's the way he got in the ring. He rolls into the ring and he literally rolls from one side of the ring to the other. And then like spoons with Pac.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's still selling. He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Pac, but then he spoons with him. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to hug you right quick. We're going to cut him.
I enjoyed the shit out of this. But I do think we had some wires crossed in the details. Cause first of all, like what? they were gonna kill Penta with the shovel. Mm-hmm. And then Buddy showed up.
Yep.
But if they knew Buddy was with them, why'd they stop?
I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah,
who wrote this shit?
It was a cool debut, but
yeah.
Why'd you stop? If you knew your boy was coming.
Listen, first off, though, they kind of made it seem like he was going to help Pac right quick.
Yeah.
So maybe it was all to keep the ruse going? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they didn't know he was coming today.
Yeah.
Give him a time frame.
I don't know.
He just said in the next couple of days. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to be here soon, but... But otherwise, fun shit.
Yeah. God bless Buddy Matthews. Because, yes, I don't know if you remember, like, the last thing I really seen from him that was of any note was that dope-ass prison escape video that he put out.
Yeah.
He's had some really Buddy good Matthews matches or whatever,
since he's been out. And now he's going to be here and he's going to kick ass. He's great.
He's free.
Dude is jacked as hell. He's looking real jacked. But
it's kind of like how I felt about Jericho later.
Yeah. Now on Rampage, there's going to be a contract signing, and we got a little video package for it with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. And you know, we go back to the big thing between the two. Britt says, "I've beaten Thunder Rosa, but Thunder Rosa's never beaten me on paper."
Ooh.
And then Thunder Rosa says, "Oh yeah, well." When I beat you at Revolution, this time it's gonna count.
Ooh.
So they are setting it up. It's finally time for that big rematch. We've always known it was gonna come. And then now it's here. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa are gonna hook up again at Revolution.
I like how pretty the video package was.
Yeah.
It was very pretty. everything kind of flowed very nicely, if that makes any sense. I know you're looking at me like, what the fuck is a pretty video package? It was artistically smooth and sound. I like that shit.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a hot ass mess.
Yeah. Laid out the story between the two very well. You know, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we got Eddie Kingston. He comes down to the ring. We got security on standby for the face-to-face with Chris Jericho.
I love what he does when he stands next to the fucking security guards. And he does this shit.
Yeah.
He just posts up right next to them making fun of them.
Eddie got no time for none of this.
Yep. It's like when you go to England and you stand next to one of those...
Yeah, the fucking guys.
Yeah, that's what he did. And I was like, you fucking troll. Yeah. I love this guy. Eddie's great, man.
So Jericho comes out. They do the Judas sing-along. And Eddie's like, all right, are we done? Are we done with the Judas sing-along? Are you good now? Have you stroked your ego enough? You all right? And then Jericho's like, all right. Eddie's like, why we got these dudes in here? What are we doing with this? I don't know these dudes. What is this? Jericho's like, I got the security because I want us to talk like men and not fight like street thugs.
So now you're calling me a street thug, huh? So now I'm a street thug.
Eddie's response to this. He says, don't say street thug to me. You don't know what that means. Facts.
Yep.
You're not from here.
Yep.
You don't know what a street thug is, my man. You don't.
He was straight up pissed, though. So now I'm a street thug. Yeah. He was high key offended.
Yeah. Eddie's like,
I smell you.
Yeah. Eddie's like, this is what we doing. We out here to, I don't do this sports entertainment nonsense. This is a wrestling company, all right? Yo, Tony Khan,
damn right.
Get Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale out here. Let's have a match. I ain't here to do all this sports entertainment stuff. If you want to do that, go down the block.
Shout out to that.
Shout out to that for sure. Shout out to Willow Nightingale getting a random ass shout out on national television.
Hell yeah. But we love her, though.
We love her. She's great.
She's dope, bro. I remember when she got, like, injured from the neck and...
Yeah.
Watching her, like, you know, get back into it, it's been crazy, bro. She deserves it. If she gets a dope ass match out here, she definitely deserves it.
Yeah.
And I would have said, get Lou Fisto out here.
Get Lou Fisto out here.
That's one of his homies, too.
Yeah.
Eddie, that's what you should. God damn it, Eddie. But I guess he's trying to put over somebody, you know, somebody
that's been
new
on there lately. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And just new, period, you know, because she's new. More or less, compared to Lou Fisto. Lou Fisto's a legend by now.
Lou Fisto's a legend.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, Jericho's like, you know what? I'll do some sports entertainment. Because, yes, you know, we are a stone's throw away from Stanford. So, yeah, I'll do some sports entertainment. But it'll actually be entertaining.
Damn right, boy.
Jericho says, you know, when you got here, Eddie Kingston, everyone was so excited and so happy for you, except me, because, you know, I follow the indie scene, but I didn't know who you were. In fact, I thought people were talking about Eddie Edwards.
Mm.
How close you follow the indie scene if you don't know Eddie Kingston?
That's what I want to know. Yeah. Because I wasn't even crazy into the indie scene, but I knew him because I always seen him with all the guys that I knew. Yeah. So it's like, he's one of those guys that even if you don't know about him, he's wrestled somebody that you do know about.
He name dropped Homicide just 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
If you know Homicide, you definitely know Eddie Kingston.
Yep.
So he's like, you know, I didn't know who you were. I thought you were Eddie Edwards. But then, you know, after you had that match with what's his name? I popped for that. After you had that match with what's his name? I was like, I got it. You know, I realized that.
Damn.
I realized that you would be a huge baby face in this company. I even said that to you. Eddie goes, what's a baby face?
This is real to him, damn it.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you.
This
what
is
the
real.
Fuck is a baby
what
face?
What the fuck is a baby face, my nigga?
I don't know what that is.
Yo, I love Eddie for that shit.
The man, the greatest.
What so the fuck is a baby face, Jericho?
Yes. Not doing this fucking... I guess since what's his name is gone, Chris Jericho has taken the baton and dropping unnecessary shoot lines and promos.
Facts. By the way, Jericho looked real. He looking real jacked
in this. Oh yeah, Jericho looked great in this.
His face looks thinner and everything.
Yeah. He might have laid off the bubbly.
Yeah, he might have
been. I'm feeling like. But, yeah. So Jericho, he's like, I'm going to tell you the truth, Eddie. The reality is you're jealous of Chris Jericho because you didn't make it to the big time until you were 38 years old. Meanwhile, I made it to the big time at 22 years old. And by 38, I was already an all-time great. I had main evented pay-per-views, won world titles, and been all over the world. And Eddie's like, I'm going to be real with you.
The only
reason you did that is because I wasn't there.
Not just that, but he also said he politicked and sucked his...
Yeah, he's like, the reality is, Chris, I don't do all this ass-kissing, looking up to the booker, undercutting other guys. You know, I don't do all this other shit. I'm not that type of cat, dog. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I don't want to deal. You're just mad because I didn't want to deal with your blood sucking ass. Because, you know, my heart don't pump Kool-Aid, man. That's me.
Boy.
Jericho says, Eddie, you fear success because your uncle was a failure. Eddie's like, watch your mouth. Your dad was a failure. And deep down inside, you feel like you're a failure.
Didn't he say achieve me phobia?
Yeah, so yeah, you have achievement phobia.
I thought that was a lie, and then I looked it up. That's actually...
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That's what you call it, achievement phobia.
Yeah, fear of success.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
Crazy.
He says, you know, I will face you at Revolution, Eddie, one-on-one. And Eddie's like, all right, good, we got the match. And Jericho's like, if you win, Eddie, I'll shake your hand. I'll give you your respect. I'll say you were the better man. But we both know you're not going to win. And Eddie says, all right, you know what? Cool. We set the match up. We're good to go. Let me just tell you this. I don't want the Jericho from the Mimosa match. I don't want the Jericho that got thrown off the cage by MJF.
I want the real Austin.
Not the old Stone Cold.
I want the old Stone Cold back.
Yes, give me a stunner, damn it. We're going to do that show soon. But Eddie's like, I want the Chris Jericho that got respect from one of my favorites, Tenryu. I want the Jericho that turned WCW upside down. Mm. I want that Chris Jericho.
I want Corazon de Leon.
That's what he want. Jericho's like, you're going to get that, and you're going to get more. And I'm going to prove that you can't win the big one. And we're going to see that you're nothing more than a loser.
I don't know what was wrong with me, but when Jericho said that, I said, hey, yo.
What?
I'm going to give you all that and more. Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway.
Big ass among us sus.
Anyway. This was definitely Jericho trying to cut a wrestling promo, and Eddie just like, that's not what we're doing. I'm gonna talk to you. We're gonna talk. We're gonna have a conversation. Cause Jericho's doing all the tropes, all the I traveled the world, you're gonna earn my respect, you're jealous of me, you can't, you know, he's doing the classic things that pro wrestlers say to sell their matches. Meanwhile, Eddie just operates on, you know, just a different type of wavelength.
Real people time.
Yes, he operates on real people time. Like he doesn't cut wrestling promos.
No.
He talks shit to people.
Yes. it's as you should.
Yeah.
It makes it feel more real when you genuinely like, fuck this guy. Then when you're over here trying to actually, I've done this and I'm gonna fuck all this shit. I'm gonna fuck you up. We gonna fight. It's gonna be great. But when you come, bring the same energy. That's what I'm saying. Just all this shit. Nah, I'm about fighting. I'm not about talking. It's the same shit Santana said. It's a New York vibe when you come out here, fam. We don't care about all this shit. All of that. Keep it. Keep going, bro. We deal with that shit on the fucking subway train. We don't care about that shit, bro. Yeah. I got to get to work. I don't fucking care, bro. But when you see me in the street, know that it's on site. And that's all that Eddie Kingston is doing here. Like, it's...
Yeah, if you got a problem with me, either swing or keep it moving.
Fuck is that's a baby is. Face, my nigga.
What is a baby face? Eddie is the fucking best. I thought, like, even with that, like, I thought this was a great promo, though. Like, even with Jericho doing that, like, I thought he was good at it, like, because he's Chris Jericho. He's good at that.
He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what he normally does. Yeah. He's a sports entertainer. He has his way. There's a formula. He's working with that.
Yeah.
Eddie don't care about that. He's not on your type of time. He yeah. on real people type of time. We got shit to do.
Yeah. And I think, like, I've seen a lot of people talking about, like, he won the promo. It's like, I think that's just corny when people talk about winning promos, because that's not the point of pro wrestling promos. The point of pro wrestling promos are to sell matches.
Yeah.
You win the promo by selling the match.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ultimately, I think they sold the match. Like, even with Jericho doing his, like, pro wrestling promo, it perfectly sets up the juxtaposition of Eddie firing back, like, nah, that's not what I'm out here to do. I'm out here to do my thing. And it's a clash of ideologies.
Yeah.
And that's the feud. They're different people from different backgrounds doing different things. We got the AFO.
Yes.
You're talking about Andrade having a TNT title match on Rampage.
And do-rags.
Yeah, and do-rags.
My bad, and Silkies.
Yeah, Silkies.
Even though I think that was a poly. I don't even.
Yeah. So, Matt is like, you know what? Isaiah won his match on Dark Elevation. So, you know what? How about we do this? How about we have me, you, Andrade, and Isaiah, and we take on Darby, Sting, and Sammy at Revolution, and we'll teach them a lesson about messing with the AFO. Mm-hmm. And Andrade's with that, and I guess it's set. Six-man at Revolution.
Did Seiko pop up at any moment?
No.
All right. I just always wonder, if AFO's there, then where the fuck is Seiko?
Seiko ain't there. But the AFO there.
But AFO is there, right?
AFO there. Now, we got a face of the Revolution, qualifier. Absolute Ricky Starks versus 10 of the Dark Order.
Yeah, I was wrong. I thought it was going to be Adam Cole, baby. They went left.
Yeah. Oh, no, they did that. They did it on Rampage.
No. I mean here tonight.
Oh, the match. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be, you know?
Yeah. They did Cole Bebe on the Rampage, and they did Ricky.
I thought it was going to be, oh, shit. Yeah. I thought they was going to be here, and I said it was going to be here, but it was on Rampage.
Yeah, it was on Rampage, baby. So, Cole Cabana's back. I ain't seen him with the squad in a minute.
Yeah, I wonder why.
No, but, like, he's been on most of the shows with Punk, so, like, I don't know. I guess they just don't be around each other. But they've definitely been on the same show together several times. Ten's throwing him around early, but Ricky cuts him off for the heat into the break. We come back. He's got the full Nelson on. He's going for it, but Starks escapes. He messes up his mask. He grabs at his mask. And then, you know, pulls it back, and Ten can't see. So then he pops off the ropes, hits the big spear, and gets the win. Most of this was in picture-in-picture because they had it on every damn match tonight. But Ricky gets the spear. He gets the win. And that kills the dream of the all-hoss ladder match at Revolution.
You got fuckboy Ricky Starks.
So now you got fucking three hosses and Ricky Starks.
And fuckboy number one.
But at least one of the hosses is his friend. So
yes.
Be all right, I guess. So this was a fun match, though. I just wish we could have seen more of it. Like, that's going to be my complaint for everything. I wish we could have seen more of this match. But
no, I was okay with the amount of match that we were getting, because the stories that they were putting in place for the first time were actually good. I usually don't like when they do too much outside storylines, like anything that involves like promos and stuff like that when it comes to AEW, because they tend to fucking destroy it. And I end up usually liking their wrestling story. But in this show, they did a lot of like good build with promos and stuff. So I was like, no, wait, I like this for a change. So I'm fucking with it. And that was my vibe.
No Dan Lambert. That's what was going on.
Well, of course, it's not going to be no Dan Lambert. He lost the people he was planning.
That's true. What the hell is Paige Van Zandt going to do now? I don't know.
Fight, I don't know, 50 Cent.
Yeah, 50 Cent. Paige Van Zandt versus 50 Cent.
And Olivia.
We had to cut the cam. We're dragging, celebrating. They're like, yeah, you see Landon, you get that camera rolling. We're going to talk about how we won. But then the Young Bucks come in like, hey, what the hell is this? You guys screwed us. You screwed us over. But then Redragon's like, hey, calm down, man. I had to do what I had. Kyle's like, I blacked out, all right? I just blacked out. You know, I was in there. I was fighting, and I blacked out, and I threw you out. It's my bad.
Right.
So then they're like, don't worry about it, though, guys. You got a second chance. You're in the Casino Battle Royal next week. So, you know, if you win that, then you're in. And then the Bucks are like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. We're in that, and we're going to win it, and we're going to be in that match, and we're going to kick your asses.
I'm going to whoop your ass.
Yeah, and the Bucks walk off angry, and then Cole, at this point, he's breaking. He's like, listen, guys, I need you guys to get on the same page. I already got a lot going on with Hangman and the world title. I just need you guys and the Bucks to focus and get it together. And then Bobby's like, I'm trying. You need to tell them that. And Cole's like, I'm telling you that. Let's
get it right. Get it right.
And then, of course, Kyle's like, yo, Landon, I think you better turn it off. Because yeah,
Landon. Fucking Landon. Oh, my God. What was the name that I gave him? I gave him a full fake name.
Yeah, Landon Butler.
I think it was Landon Butler, yeah.
Yeah, not Brandon Cutler.
Oh, God.
Now we got TBS champion Jade Cargill versus the Bunny.
That song is fire.
Yeah. They gave my girl the head of the table a jobber entrance, though. We got to talk, TK. You can't be doing that to the tribal chief, the Bunny. Can't be having that.
My internet is shite, by the way.
Jade is taking this green like money shit and taking it to the moon.
She Hulk over this shit with the hair?
Yeah. And then the gold outfit, this shit is. She ain't playing.
She all about that money.
Yeah. Bunny puts in some work though. She gets the heat on Jade, Russian leg sweeps her into the barricade.
Sorry, that's going into the pip.
So we come back from the break. Big Money Matt has come down the ringside. Jade hits her spine buster and Matt distracts the ref. And at that point, the Nux gets slid in. And I don't know who did that.
I wonder.
I don't think it'd be Smart Mark.
It would definitely not be Smart Mark. You know who did that shit? It was Matt.
No, because Matt was on the apron.
I know. He probably pulled the little Wardlow and did it when we wasn't looking.
I guess. Yeah, so I don't know how he pulled it off.
But it's usually his people who have the Nux.
Yeah, he got like 35 people, so maybe he had somebody creep out real quick. And
fucking so, Butcher slid under the ring or some shit.
Yeah. So Bunny gets the Nux, but Jay gets the belt. Mm-hmm. And she stops it. She blocks it. Sterling slipped her the belt. And then Aubrey has had it. She looks at Matt. She's like, you
get the fuck out.
And then Smart Mark is like, that's right. You get him out of here. That's what you get.
And you
get the fuck out. Get. She fucking with the little twirl. I love that shit. Mm-hmm. Go Aubrey.
Get the
fuck out. So then Jade, she comes back, she hits Jaded, and she gets the win. I thought that was a fun finish. That was a fun finish in the match. There was a point where the ref counted three, and Jade was super late in getting her shoulder up. But I get why you don't do it, because Jade's whole thing is she's undefeated right now, so you can't kill that. And, you know, whatever. Just talk to Jade like, hey, you got to make sure you kick out next time.
Yeah. I got a front, but you know, once they do that replay,
yeah,
somebody gonna have to cut that now.
Yeah,
or at least pan to a different camera angle for the replays.
Yeah, get a different angle, because she does like get her shoulder up. She just does it too late.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like I said, fun finish, fun little match. You know, I always got love for the Bunny.
Yeah,
Jade is great. So
Jade is amazing.
Yeah. So Tony hits the ring to interview Jade. And she grabs the mic and she's like, cut this shit, Tony. She goes full Goldberg with this shit. She's like, I'm going all the way at 50-0. And now I just want to know who's next. Better yet, who's left?
Ooh.
And that brings out Ty Conti.
Ooh, I fucking hate her theme song. It should make no sense.
Yeah.
This is not a Babyface theme song. Y'all gotta come up with something better. This fuck is this shit, bro? The fucking, that shit is ear piercing, bro. That little fucking synthesizer that they use in there. And then it's like a weird ass fucking, it's like a mix between a worm and a synth. It's fucking nasty. I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm over here talking fucking technical music shit. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Yeah.
So Ty comes out. She says, you know, I'm not just next. I'm the one that's going to beat your ass. And then she runs down to the ring and fucking stares down with Jade. And they're having a big stare down. Spice. Jade kisses her on the forehead.
Mm-hmm. She's
Mike
tiny.
Tysoned her.
Yeah. I'm gonna make you my bitch.
Yeah. That shit was amazing. And then
I'm gonna
Ty's
kiss
like,
you because you're a sweet bitch.
You.
You know what I'm saying?
She's gonna pop, but then Bunny runs in and tries to take her out. Ty takes her out, and then Jade crushes her with the pump kick.
It's absolutely this way, you know what I'm saying? It had to be this way.
It had to be this way. And after poor Ty is dead, Anna Jay runs in like, hey! And she's got a chair.
That bitch was hella late. I don't know what the fuck.
Anna Jay was mad late. Fucking. Marvez is with Keith Lee. Man.
Oh, shit. You know Keith Lee? That's my nephew. I like that guy. You know what I'm saying? I took him to the ranch the other day. We was out there. You know what I'm saying? I was showing him how to throw the hands the way. Because he a big dude, but he don't be throwing the hands the way I be throwing the hands. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody throw so hands the way you throw hands, Mike.
But you got, it's easy to learn. That's the thing. I always tell people, you know, you gotta be inspired and be encouraged because when you do...
I gotta stop this.
The Warfare really is... That's the thing it sounds like. I hate that shit.
The Warfare is talking to Keith Lee. Talking about the Face of the Revolution ladder match.
But ooh, then, this is where I see the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's like... You know, last week I wrestled my first match here. It's a new place. I don't really know a lot of guys here in this match. Well, I do know one guy in the match. And then the one guy walks up, Ricky Starks.
Mm.
And Starks is like, yeah, you know. We know each other from the past. We've had our encounters. But then let me tell you something now. This is AEW. This is a new situation. Here you start fresh. And here, you know, Team Taz has been running things. So I just want to remind you that you need to be on your P's and Q's.
You know what happened here?
What?
You heard that whole promo. You wrote it down. You wrote these notes. Bruh, this is what my head did. Ricky started talking. Then he started blurring away. Then he was just completely blurred out. And I just heard, wah, 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 really, really low. And my eyes just saw these two motherfuckers in my view. And I was like, yo, Will Hobbs versus Keith Lee needs to happen right the fuck now.
Well, they gave us that. They gave us that because Starks walked off and then Hobbs stepped in and then him and Keith Lee had a moment like, what you want to do? And but I was like,
But that's when I was when I was like, we need this fight. This needs to happen right the fuck. Give me.
And then Ricky stepped in like,
Take my money. Take my title belt.
Take all my money.
You want my weed?
Then Ricky stepped in like, we're going to save that. We're going to save that for Revolution. Come on, big man. We out of here.
No, don't save that for nothing. I want that now. And then they fucked me up with that. Literally, that's exact. Yo, poor Ricky. I love you, Ricky Stark. I'm not trying to shit on you. It's just my mind literally just... literally just what happened.
Well, they know because they gave them that moment. So they know. They know what y'all want. They know y'all want the big man. So, fucking Excalibur, this man runs through the Revolution card inhumanely fast.
Yep.
I don't think he took a single breath in like 3 minutes' time just running down the card.
It gave me...
Brian Daniels versus John Moxley, in any case, versus Chris Jericho, and fucking... I'm like, yo, Excalibur, yo!
You know who used to talk like that? Ooh. JB back in Impact.
Yeah, Jeremy Barash.
Oh, snap. Where the fuck? When did they hire JB?
That's why this man won Best Commentator, Excalibur. Shout out to the man.
Went out there and just, we're going to have it. It was like an Eminem verse, bro.
Yeah. Yo, Excalibur, plug the card. You got 2 seconds. It's time for the main event. Brian
I'm going to do it anyways. Blurger, blurger,
blurger. Brian Danielson versus Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. BOLA 2021 winner, Daniel Garcia, versus the winner of the Wrestling Observer Brian Danielson Award.
Mm.
Brian Danielson.
Mm.
This man won his own award. That's so fucking gangster.
Fucking Michael Jackson winning the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. God damn.
Who is the best Brian Danielson?
Brian Danielson.
What a beast. Man. So we kick this match off. Garcia tries to wrestle. Like, yeah, you're the best wrestler. Let's wrestle. And Danielson's like, fuck that shit. Show me your violence.
We need violence.
Yeah, I want violence. I came for violence. So Garcia starts chopping him. Danielson whips out the Danielson special. Mm-hmm. Every time he whips out some more old moves, I go crazy. Goes for the lapel lock.
He going to do it. You know what it is? He didn't bring all that shit out because of you know who. Yeah. But he won't do that for us here now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it is now. He doing what he want to do, what he got to do. You know what it is.
You know what it is, black and yellow.
So he goes for the bell lock. But then Garcia gets in the ropes. And you know what happens. He turns around, tells the ref, I have till five. And then we go to, I love that that's his commercial spot now. Mm-hmm. When he turns around, I have till five. Picture in picture. We got tough, LTK. Oh, what the hell was that? I heard that. We come back from break. Garcia's in control, but Danielson suplexes him from the inside to the outside and then follows with the running knee off the apron. He looks up. He asks the crowd, you guys want to see violence?
And yes.
The crowd chants, yes.
Yeah.
So he starts kicking his leg out of his leg.
You know exactly what that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence? Want me to stick 19-inch nails into each one of my eyelids? Yeah. Want to try Sid?
Me and do exactly like I did?
Try Sid and get fucked up worse than my life is?
Yeah. He locks on the heel hook. Garcia comes back, tries his own, but Danielson cuts him off. They lock hands. They get in the Greco-Roman knuckle lock.
Yeah.
And then just start elbowing each other in it. That shit was crazy.
I'm going to get you in this weird ass, and then I'm going to elbow you. I'm going to twist you into a pretzel and a half, and then enjoy these elbows right quick.
I'm going to beat your ass while I put you in a pretzel.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to beat your ass while I'm beating your ass.
that's basically what you're trying to do. I'm going to beat your ass while I'm beating your ass.
What's the guy's name? Stu Hart would call that stretching.
Yeah. Stretcher.
Stretcher.
So Garcia goes for a dragon screw, but Danielson stops, sits on the dragon screw, pulls up, and starts Danielson stomping him. I was like, oh no, he's dead. And he was dead.
Man, I say you, he did.
Yeah. But the counter was so smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Like he went down, and then Danielson was like, I bet you'd have thought. Now you're getting stomped out. And
now you're going to lose your head.
Yeah. Triangle sleeper follows, double biceps. Danielson gets the win. Really fun match. Again, I wish I could have seen every bit of it, but from what I could see, really fucking good match. Like, of course, expect nothing less from these two. Like I said, BOLA 2021 and the winner of the Brian Danielson Award, Brian Danielson. So.
So the winner of the Brian Danielson Award, Brian Danielson.
He grabs the mic. He asked the crowd, was Daniel Garcia violent enough? And the crowd agrees, actually. They're like, they were
down with it.
Yeah, he's good. But before he can go on, 2.0 hit the ring. It was like, you can't be fucking talking shit about us. We're great parents. All right?
We're amazing dads. We're the best Canadian dads of all time. We're Terrence and Phillip.
Yeah, all right? Fuck you, buddy.
Fuck you, guy.
So they're beating him down, but John Moxley comes out to make the save. So he takes out 2.0. Garcia tries to take him out with a chair, but Danielson grabs it, takes it away, and then Mox turns around and fucking murders him with the Death Rider DDT because he lifted him. So it wasn't a paradox.
Yeah. He held that motherfucker up.
Yeah. Dragon grabs the mic. The crowd is chanting, this is awesome. And then he lifts the chair and he's like, you wanted an answer? He said, you can't fight with someone unless you bleed with them first. Well, I don't need this to make anyone bleed. He throws the chair down. He's like, you want a match at Revolution? You got it. But then he says, don't be surprised if you're the only person bleeding at the end of it.
Violent
Revolution is stacked.
Yes, it's a thick old boy.
This card is ridiculous.
It's a thick. That boy thick.
Adam Cole versus Adam Page.
Yes.
CM Punk versus MJF dog collar match.
Double yes.
Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley.
Another double yes.
Ladder match that so far has a bunch of hosses and Ricky Starks.
Yes.
We have a triple threat tag with Jurassic Express, Redragon, and someone else next week. If I had to guess, it'd be the Young Bucks.
The Young Cucks.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker.
See. I know you like that one. Thunder Rosa, Z.
We even got a Sting and Darby special on there. Six-man Sting, Darby, and Sammy versus Dafo.
See?
So ask me why that
one's
crazy.
That one was for Sammy. I don't know.
It was for Andrade.
All right, there you go, Andrade. There you go, see?
See.
See? I'm going home. I suck today. What am I doing? All right, go ahead.
Revolution looks crazy and like, it's like I talked about earlier with Jericho and Kingston, like promos and shit are, the purpose of them is to hype matches.
Mm-hmm.
And what this show did was hype a bunch of matches across the board. And like I said, this card is looking crazy, man. Yeah. Really fun show. Really fun build up for the pay-per-view. I am amped for this shit.
That CM Punk one and MJF. I should just call it the MJF one. I don't know why the fuck I even mentioned him.
Yeah, Punk ain't even say
shit. Yeah, he ain't say shit. That MJF promo.
MJF, no lie, like that's a legendary promo.
Yeah,
that's going to be one that when we look back 10, 20 years down the line, we're going to look back and be like, that was one of the ones where we saw MJF was really one of the greats. Like, because like we talk about how MJF is like a great heel. And, you know, he's great at being smarmy and being a dickhead and all that type of stuff. But, like, this was range. He showed real range in this promo. And, I mean, like we talked about, a lot of that probably comes from the real emotions of telling his real story. But to still be able to weave that in and turn it into a compelling wrestling promo is incredible stuff. And this guy is 25 years old.
True.
This guy,
I always forget amazing. That he's very young.
He's very young. He's only been wrestling for like 5 years. He's really good, man. He's really good.
And that was Cody's boy.
Yeah. Cody was the one who brought MJF in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow.
I'm sure Cody was proud watching him tonight. Like, you killed that shit.
Hell yeah. I just like the way that instead of having them have CM Punk come out here and fake some bullshit, he came out on some like, yo, is this that real? Is it true? Like, you know, like it was so like, I don't know. That felt realer than damn near anything else on here other than Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, genuine emotion, genuine, like, you know, character development, intrigue. Everything you want out of a good, like, we talk about how pro wrestling like stacks up as a storytelling medium. This is one of the promos tonight, this MJF segment, that I would say you show that to someone and that will show someone exactly how deep and strong and emotionally gripping pro wrestling can be as a storytelling medium. Like, just great stuff. Like, I can't say enough good things about what MJF did here on this show.
Like, he gave us a little slice of him and it went a long way.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been AEW Dynamite from the Banter Club. You know, we have been exactly that, the Banter Club. Tab, I would like you to let these people know where else to find us.
Indeed, here. Mm-hmm. You already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Banter Club Podcast and at Ramble Mania Show. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania, Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers, podcasters, everybody that we associate with post all our goings on, all that is going down. As far as the audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, just search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. And as for the visuals, twitch.tv/Ramble Mania Show. Search us up on YouTube, Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. And when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes
straight to you.
And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great.
You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L, that is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX, ain't I great? That is at SIIXX, you're all ready. You can find us on TikTok at Ramble Mania Show. And right now, what's up right now? Right now, we got fucking 10 going crazy for no fucking reason, even though the brawl was already over.
Yeah.
he killed somebody that I know, I forgot his name, something chic. Fuck, what's his name?
Who?
One of the guys that was a security guard was actually somebody that I've seen before in the Indies. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's the Diamond Sheik or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would have to look it up. It doesn't matter. Anyways, what was I going to say? Yeah, nah, go check us out. We post a lot of little funny things. Pretty soon there's going to be another one up there. You know what I'm saying? I was going to do like 2 more this week, but I was like, nah, the episode's doing good enough. And now I'm going to do the other one for our BCR, which you guys got to check that out too.
Yeah, that is up now.
Yep.
Banter Club Retro Episode 2, Monday Night Raw, January 19th. Yeah, 19th, 1998. Yep. The night after the Royal Rumble. Tyson and Austin. Check it out.
We'd like to leave our, beautiful Banter Club loyalists. And we like to call a little BC aliens with a little something called the Too Sweet.
Too Sweet.
And a good fight.
And a good night.
Black and black and black, 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 black and black and black and black. I felt that shit, MJF. I felt that shit.
Real shit, Max.